JC2S, Part 2.
Number 6B.
So we go and see how Max then shows us from the Oneness book that, therefore, this chapter, Animal Magnetism Unmasked, handles that belief of hypnotism and the belief there that there's another power operating within that realm of the hypnotic suggestion, which is of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that there's a power going on which is for good and for evil. So in the standpoint of oneness of this chapter, we see that there's only one power going on. If we go out from reality, from seeing the world as God created the world with the white garments on, we see then that there is only one power at work, and that is God good. So the exercise he gives us on page 112 for this chapter, Animal Magnetism Unmasked, is under the law of oneness, as I said then, that the as he shows that God manifests itself as the maximum of good. Meaning, therefore, that mind manifests itself as the maximum of mind good, we could say. Or spirit manifests itself as the maximum of spirit good. And soul manifests itself as the maximum of soul good. And principle manifests itself as the maximum of principle. And life manifests itself as the maximum of life. And truth manifests itself as the maximum of truth. And love manifests itself as the maximum of love. And that's the only thing going on. And that is operating for good. That is in reality. That is out of the illusion. And that is the only isness of being going on. Now, as we come then to the chapter on science, theology, and medicine, that then says, all right, all that was, you can just take it off and leave it off for a while. So we see then that in this chapter, it looks back now at the preceding chapters where Mrs. Eddy said that God had been graciously preparing her. So she looks back now at Animal Magnetism Unmasked. It's Christian Science versus Spiritualism especially. Those chapters, because the first three chapters were just building up to those as a cornerstone. And she says, all right, we look back at animal magnetism and the spiritualism belief. And she says, all right, then that whole belief of spiritualism, that God can be turned into its opposite as given in the second record of creation, and of animal magnetism, that that has the power to influence us, that we take in the suggestion of the second record and let it influence us and put us into the hypnotic trance. At the sixth chapter, she says, all that is just mythology. It only goes on within the imagination. And you know that that paper that I gave out last year called Christian Science versus Mythology, that Mrs. Eddy then in the textbook just reduces the origin of everything to mythology. She shows then here that mortal mind and its beliefs of mind's many, matter, body, material senses, theories, death, mortal man, imperfection, she says, are myths. As she'll show in this chapter, she says, the hosts of Aesculapius are flooding the world with diseases because they are ignorant that the human mind and body are myths. So she debunks everything as just going on within the imagination, within the hypnotic trance. And then she goes on to show that mortal mind is a myth, matter is a myth, and talks and shows us that Adam was the first god of mythology, and that the serpent was the first statement of mythology. So, and idolatry. So everything, it's the first time in the sixth chapter that she discusses mythology and says, well, everything, that whole second record of creation is now mythology, and that's been the basis of science. Those physical sciences, that's all it's been based on, is on those myths. Certainly we know theology has just been based on mythology and the anthropomorphic concept of God, and medicine is just based on mythology. We know that when we will see that medicine first turned to gods to heal, and which really showed the mythological basis of that subject. So we see then that this chapter is going to reverse that all Completely. This is, as I said, when we were going over the whole subject of the matrix of the textbook, we saw that this is where it happens in science, theology, and medicine. We put up the matrix, the textbook matrix, yes, where we see then that on page 102 in the study aid, right there, the Christ is the Christ, showing the subject of this chapter, where the translation of God comes to us, and that's of God's nature. See, it's bringing to us the Word, the revelation of God's nature as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love now comes to us in this chapter. That's the Christ, specifically, right down to us. That's the Emmanuel, isn't it? It comes to us and overturns in us everything that isn't like mind. So it overturns in us all that sense of mortal mind and translates it back into mind. It overturns in us the belief of duality and translates it back into spirit. It overturns in us the belief that we're a mind in a matter body and translates it back into soul. It overturns in us the belief that we turn to personalities for our information, or to personal organizations, or to people, and translates it back into principle. It comes to us and overturns in us the belief that we're in the illusion of the birth, maturity, and death cycle, and translates it back that we're only the surprise of life ourself, experiencing the adventure of love. And it comes to us and translates out of us the belief then of a dead theology into a living theology, and comes to us and translates out of the belief of mortal consciousness back into divine consciousness. And it comes to us and translates out of us the belief of imperfection back into the standpoint of perfection. So you see, this is what is happening in this chapter. This is where we finally, since Genesis, get the retranslation. This is truth over the textbook. Truth protects the truth and destroys the error. And this is where it happens. So at this point, it's going on not only within us, but also within, as she shows us now, all the sciences. My goodness, we saw last year and we know through our reading. We look out at the world and we certainly see how the Christ truth, the nature of God, is coming to the sciences in the world and overturning them from a physical basis now into a metaphysical basis, but finally back into the science of God. And we see how the sense of life, true theology, is coming to the world and translating out the false sense of theology back into the true theology. And how the true concept of medicine, that mind is the only medicine because mind heals these false beliefs. And therefore those false beliefs objectify, call themselves sickness. So mind comes to us and translates out that false belief of medicine back into the true medicine. So this is where the constituents of being are giving a new basis to science, theology, medicine in our life. And that Christ is doing it as a self-operating, self-regulating, error-preventing, error-correcting system. But we have come so far in our consciousness at this point, along the line of the Bible and the textbook, that we're willing to let it happen as we see now through science and not through suffering. So we come then to just the exercise of this chapter. First of all, from the Oneness Book, resolving that sense of duality, that God and its manifestation are separate, that God is separate from, the science of God is separate from sciences in the world, that theology is separate from theology in the world, that medicine is separate from medicine in the world, or that God is separate from us. And retranslates back into that standpoint of oneness where God and the universe is one. God and science, theology, medicine are one. Where we saw, therefore, it's the principle of all principles behind the world, including our lives. So first of all, we'll look at the Oneness Book as an exercise behind this chapter. On page 121, therefore, the law of oneness says that God manifests itself as our God, infinitely individualized, but still remaining the whole of God. This is where we see and we'll hear, therefore, how the Christ is. That's what the Christ does, doesn't it? The Christ is Emmanuel. It comes right to us. So we already hear the place value of this chapter. We can't escape it. The Christ is going to get it. No matter if we want to be a Jonah or not, we're not going to get out of the way because the Christ comes to us. And is going to grind to powder in us everything that isn't like God. So that's why the law begins to say that mind manifests itself as our mind, infinitely individualized, but still remaining the whole of mind. And spirit in this chapter manifests itself as our spirit, infinitely individualized, but still remaining the whole of spirit. And soul manifests itself as our soul, infinitely individualized, but still remaining the whole of soul. And principle manifests itself as our principle, infinitely individualized, but still remaining the whole of principle. And life manifests itself as our life, infinitely individualized, but still remaining the whole of life. And truth manifests itself as our truth, infinitely individualized, but still remaining the whole of truth. And love manifests itself as our love, infinitely individualized, but still remaining the whole of love. So we hear the Emmanuel of God coming to us, infinitely individualized, yet still remaining God, bringing to us God's nature as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, the first translation. Then the next slide shows us, page 123, how that law of oneness translates itself to the textbook subject. Then we saw last year that the textbook subjects in this chapter picks up the retranslation. That's where we pick up the subjects, and yet we know behind the retranslation subject is the first translation. So therefore, on page 123, the law of this chapter goes on to say it from the second translation. First of all, we saw that mind comes to us. And what does it do? It has its impact. It translates the belief of mortal mind out of itself back into the metaphysics of divine mind. That was that subject of mind in this chapter. Then we saw that spirit comes to us and translates the material concept back into the language of spirit. That was the second subject we discussed last year, under spirit. And then we saw last year that soul comes to us and translates a false testimony of the physical senses back into the spiritual sense, into the science of soul. And then last year we saw that principle comes to us and translates the concept of a material science back into the science of God. And that's where we left the subject last year, under that big tone of science. And that mind, spirit, soul constitute the principle of the new science of God, that principle of all principles. And then, having presented the science of God as the principle of all principles based now on reality, giving us the true vision of reality, which is debunking within our consciousness, that hypnotic illusion already is gone because mortal mind is gone, the matter is gone, the physical senses are gone, and that is the basis of the illusion. So consciousness now can go out from the science of God. And when consciousness goes out from the science of God, what is its experience? And that will be this wonderful experience we'll have of life in this chapter. Terrific, the explosion of life, the surprise of life, the drive of life, the newness of life, showing that life is theology, not that old Christianity sense of going into a church and sitting down and praying and anyhow finally having the idea be turned into its opposite. In order to give the original idea comes, as it says in that article on servants of the spirit, not prisoners of organization, by W. J. Brown, says that an idea always begins, for example, in a theological movement, but in order to attract people, it's watered down. And therefore, then the watered down concept becomes the idea behind the church. And therefore, finally, the church has turned into its spiritualism, into its opposite. And the original idea is lost because they've taken down the watered down concept to track the many. Well, we're not going to do that, are we? As John Dorley said, don't worry about taking this subject to the world. Don't try to popularize it. That's the worst thing we could do, is to try to get many people into the subject. It's consciousness. That would just turn it right into spiritualism, which we would turn it into a watered-down concept to attract people, and then we'd hear rumbles because they don't like it. Well, then we'd say, well, what do you like? Oh, okay, if you're going to stay, if you like that, well, then that's fine. And then finally, we'd just be having tea parties at the summer school. So we can see that it does that. We know that. And so therefore theology says no, that we're not, it doesn't. The Christ won't let us turn it into its opposite. That life maintains our true theology. We maintain our integrity. We are servants of principle God. We're not prisoners of any organization. And she says it so beautifully in that chapter, in that section. And then she comes to the point of truth and says, well, that truth translates itself to us and retranslates out a belief in the healing power of drugs back into the remedy of truth. Sure, we see that now, because if ideas heal, mind's ideas are the remedy of truth. Because our problem is this hypnotism, or these false beliefs that are hypnotizing us, that we've taken in as a suggestion. It's not our fault. We were born into a belief of, and the universal belief, as Sheldrick says, that morphogenetic field is thinking us. Every generation that is born into this belief takes on that morphogenetic field, and that morphogenetic field is the past is present. All the beliefs that were ever thought in the past are present now, and we take them on. We're born into the illusion, we take on the illusion. And so, therefore, that's what Carl Jung saw, too, that all those archetypal beliefs are thinking us. We came into the world, and the universal beliefs control the collective beliefs, control the individual beliefs. So as a little child, even though we don't know the berry is poison and we eat the berry is poison, we could have died if our mother didn't run up and grab it away from us. Because the universal beliefs control the individual beliefs, the universal beliefs control the collective beliefs, which control the individual belief. And that is, therefore, that which is being handled here through medicine, saying it's those beliefs that we're born into are the problem. Therefore, how does a drug heal those beliefs? That's fighting air with air. Doesn't do a thing. The only way that a belief can be handled is through the science of God that we have learned. The science of God corrects those beliefs and therefore frees us from those beliefs. That's that truth tone that we are set free. Then we know that there isn't a love tone, but Max went on to finish out the law that love comes to us and translates out a hopeless sense of alienation back into the restful embrace of love. That's nice, because one feels that that's what this chapter is, as we saw last evening, that it's within the brace of the divine principle love. That principle love is behind all science, behind all theology, and behind all medicine. That model of being is a model of sciences. It's a model of all theology. It's a model of all true remedies. So therefore, the whole chapter is embraced with love, and I just feel she says, I've said it. It's hidden in this chapter. I can't give you a tone, a main tone, because it's all the tones together make up love. And you know, that's what love is. It's a sum total of deity. So she says, if you just look back at this chapter, you'll find love. It's a sum total of everything that I have said. And this truth consciousness goes on where? Love isn't an emotion as a capitalized term, is it? It's a realm. Love is a realm where the truth consciousness operates. So she's just showing that this truth consciousness that we are building up in the textbook here, especially at the truth is the truth tone, one of the greatest tones of truth we can have in the textbook, that truth is operating in the realm of love. It's operating in that all-embracing realm of a divine principle love which is divine science. So most of the tones of love that are in this chapter all seem to go back to divine science. Finally, she shows that the all-saving science is divine science. That's how she ends it there, with that tone of truth is love. Just saying, this whole subject is of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, is now operating within the realm of love, from the standpoint of the divine principle, love, divine science. Terrific spiritual adventure that we have now before us for the rest of the week, and we will now take probably 2 days for, or maybe 2.5 for the theology section, and the last days for medicine. If there's time to touch on the general structure of physiology, we will, but that's not the purpose of the class. The purpose is to continue to finish the subject, which we will. So now, tomorrow, I want us to just take a look in the morning when we come in to this exercise that we started from this oneness book on that sheet of paper now that I've handed out. Chapter 6, Science, Theology, and Medicine, that Christ is a Christ, giving us the law of that we exercised with last year behind this chapter. We had first the first page is the first translation called the Scientific Translation of Immortal Mind from Absolute Christian Science, as shown in the Oneness book, how God comes to us infinitely individualized yet still remaining God. That's that first translation. Then the next page, too, shows the second translation from the Oneness book, how this fact translates all that is not godlike back into the godlike, and that then is the subject of the textbook subjects. So you look over that this evening. And then finally, the page 3 is where I queried myself, wondering, I wonder what that back into looks like. It always says that God comes to us and translates mortal mind out of itself back into immortal mind. And I was always wondering, well, can that back into be graphically explained? And so therefore the third page is just the out of itself back into, where I'm really looking at the subject of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love from the subject of the dimensional structuring of the synonyms on the levels, a subject which you have then in the Oneness book, a subject which you have in a study aid for the Science of Christian Science, beginning on, well, page 70 to explain the subject, but from 71 all the way through to 77. So with the study aid from page 70 to 77 is just really the voluminous presentation I could see of the out of itself back into. So I've just epitomized the out of itself back into, where mind comes to us and translates mortal mind out of itself back into the divine mind, that is a dimensional happening. And when spirit comes to us and translates the concept of matter out of itself back into spirit, that is happening dimensionally. And when soul comes to us and translates out the false sense of physical senses back into soul, that soul comes to us from the first translation, from the standpoint of science itself, to divine science, to absolute Christian science, to Christian science, having its impact, bringing us from Christian science back into absolute Christian science, back into divine science, back into the realm of science itself. So it is with the other synonymous terms. So you can plot that out of itself back into very scientifically as the ascending and descending of the levels. Basically, that one can't go up to heaven until something has come down from heaven, showing that the first translation first, from, as we see now, the levels of science itself to divine science, to absolute Christian science, to Christian science, causes us to go from Christian science to absolute Christian science to divine science to science itself in our consciousness. So if you take this law, and I'd like us to have it as the assignment for this evening. You go over it and begin to love it and ponder it and value what we did last year, and I will go over it in class in a general way in the morning. Then we will go right into the theology subject in the morning of life, and there is when we will use our textbook and use Kapler's book. Then on epitomes for the spiritually structured interpretation of the Christian Science textbook we know now, specifically at Science, Theology, and Medicine, and bring our colored pencils, and we will have the surprise of life and the adventure of love.